This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, now extended until the end of August. Order today at EdenPure.com and don't forget to use code word HOWIE3.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
And this weekend, Kabul was taken without resistance. The administration maintaining it was taken by surprise.
Surprise!
This is the greatest embarrassment in the history of our country.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If this man is released, the way he ran the streets of Boston with his partner, Whitey Bulger, it'd be horrific. It'd be horrifying. I mean, the guy's like a Charles Manson.
You know, all I can say is that he is well-respected in the prison. He's been a model prisoner. He's an avid painter.
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
Agreed.
Which would set the PPRD at May 4, 2218.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Now, there's a serial killer from Boston by the name of Stevie Fleming. He's known as the Rifleman. And he admitted 3 years ago in federal court in Boston that he had been involved in at least 50 murders, and either planning them or taking part actually in the hits themselves. And 50 murders. And today he was up before the parole board in Florida, and he was asking for parole. He was asking for a compassionate release. That's what he wanted, compassionate release, because he's in danger, supposedly, of the COVID virus. And he wasn't going to get out anyway, for starters. But he decided to make a shot of it. And he's serving a life sentence in Florida. He's serving a life sentence, a concurrent life sentence, same time, in Oklahoma for a hit there. And he's also serving a life sentence from the federal court system in Massachusetts for 10 murders, 10 of the 50 murders he pleaded guilty to. So, but he still came up, and they ran through all these people at the Florida parole board today telephonically. And it was a very weird group. You know, these people would come in on the telephone and speak to the parole board and say, you know, he's a wonderful person. I got to know him in prison. You know, we were doing hard time together, and then someone would come in. Well, yeah, the guy you want to let go, he molested my 3-year-old. He stabbed my father with a barbecue fork, murdered him with a barbecue fork. Just one horrific story after another. So finally, number 20, about an hour and a half in, it comes up, Stevie Fleming, the guy who killed 50 people, wants compassionate release. And His only witness on his behalf was one of his daughters by his first wife, Jeanette Benedetti. And it's just amazing. I mean, I've seen these things before, but this was, I've seen people making these kinds of pitches in the old days when Dukakis was letting them go, and they'd have to go before the governor's council, and they all had to be with their kids, you know, who were like 4 and 5 years old. And I'd go to the governor's council. I thought he'd been in for 10 years. And then I didn't understand conjugal visits. I quickly figured out what it was. But anyway, this could be the nuttiest stuff I've ever heard from anybody. This guy killed 50 people. He was a serial killer. And this is Jeanette Benedetti talking about her father, Stevie the Rifleman Fleming. Cut two.
I just wanted to tell the board, good morning. Actually, my father's been in, he's been in prison now. He's 87 years old. He's been in prison for probably over 26 years now. He hasn't had one disciplinary action toward him whatsoever.
Where's my violin?
He has done everything in his world in there. He has several certificates. He's
certificates.
Been a model prisoner.
A model prisoner. Oh, the old model prisoner routine. And you know, there's a lot of the criminals have really become very interested in works of art. Not just Hunter Biden, but also Stevie the Rifleman Fleming. Cut three.
He's an avid painter. Even Washington has asked him to paint, to put things on their wall.
George Washington?
So he's been in prison for 26 years. He's 87. And you know what? He has turned his life around. I almost expected her to say that he was an aspiring rapper. Cut four.
I have to admit, over the years, I've seen a big, big change with my father. Since the COVID, before the COVID, I've visited him 3 or 4 times a year. We speak maybe 3 or 4 times a day. The change has been overwhelming.
Overwhelming. You know who hasn't changed? All of his 50 victims. They're still dead. Do you ever talk about what he did when he killed those 50 people, Jeanette? Your father? Cut five.
When I speak with him in person, we speak about his crimes. They were horrific. But he has gone into detail with me and how remorseful he is.
Remorseful.
And being his daughter,
say a good act of contrition.
Say here. But I have seen how remorseful he is for the families.
Don't tell me Stevie's sorry. I know how sorry Stevie is. And, you know, when he gets out, he's got his family behind him. Okay? I know this makes you feel better. Cut six.
I've seen even the things that he's done. He's got a great support system out here.
Oh, okay.
You know, my uncle would take him in.
His uncle, her uncle. You know who that is? That's Mike Fleming. He used to be a member of the Boston Police Department. He's the one when they moved the guns out of the place across from Billy Bulger's house in South Boston. You know, the place where Stevie strangled his girlfriend, Debbie Davis, and then ripped her teeth out of her head. He had a lot of guns and cash stashed there. And Mike Fleming, the Boston police officer, who gave his bulletproof vest, by the way, to the IRA to use in their terrorist operations. And then he went to prison himself. His jailbird, crooked cop brother, Michael, will take him in. God, that's touching. That's the kind of great family support system. Cut seven.
You know, all I can say is that he is well respected in the prison.
Kill 50 people? I think probably,
he's done,
yeah, you are.
That was asked of him, and he's, like I said, he has several certificates. He speaks several languages.
Oh, wow.
And I know he just wants to come home with his family.
How about the people he killed? They wanted to come home? Do you think they liked having their teeth pulled out of their heads? Whitey called him Dr. Mengele. The reason he learned how, you know how he learned how to take people's teeth out? He killed a guy in the desert, a guy named Peter Poulos in Nevada, because Peter Poulos was a witness to him shooting his boss in the head, Wimpy Bennett. And so he said, he just figured the coyotes would eat the body and he'd be okay. But they identified Peter Poulos by the teeth in his head. And he learned his lesson. He said, the next person I kill, I'm going to start pulling their teeth out. And, you know, one time Whitey Bulger, his girlfriend was a dental hygienist. So Stevie was complaining the pliers he was using were getting rusty. And they were too big because they were now working on women. Their mouths were so small and the pliers wouldn't fit in. So he said, I got to do something. So you know what Whitey did? Whitey went said, bring me home the catalog from your boss, the dentist, to his girlfriend. And he ordered a pair of state-of-the-art teeth extractors. Christmas was coming up. And that was his gift to Stevie Fleming, his partner in crime. Was a pair of teeth extractors, state of the art. 844-500-4242. We've got some cuts from the victims' one of the victim's brothers, Steve Davis. We're trying to get him on the line to talk about this, but we've got his sound cuts because he came on and he delivered a pretty good rebuttal to Jeanette Benedetti. And again, they weren't going to let him out, and they didn't let him out. But it was pretty weird to hear these pitches made for him. We'll be right back. 844-500-4242. Then we'll get back to talking about Afghanistan and other issues. Protecting my family is my number one priority, but I want to do it safely. Taser believes that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough for you to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse. Yet they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risks for you and those around you. Even pepper spray can be dangerous and ineffective. Taser products are safer and easy to use. They carry an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with the Taser network of devices. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. Taser devices are available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code Howie. Save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code Howie. Spell TASER.com, promo code Howie. Restrictions apply. See site for details. I'm Howie Carr.
Want more Howie? Click the Howie Cam on HowieCarshow.com.
You just shot an unarmed man.
Well, he should have armed himself.
The Howie Carr Show.
Incidentally, if you want to read about the career of the rifleman, Stevie Flemmy, I took his DEA 6 report and made it into a book. He gave it out when he pleaded guilty to everything. It went on for, as you can imagine, for more than 100 pages and all kinds of murders. And I put in all the pictures with it. And it's kind of entertaining. It's not like my other books, but it's a police report with a lot of great photographs using his own words. And it's called Rifleman. You can get it at HowieCarshow.com. Click on store. And then we've got it on sale. We've got a few hardcover copies left. If we do another edition, it'll be soft cover. This will be the last time you have a chance to buy the hardcover edition. It'll be autographed if you buy it. HowieCarshow.com. Click on store. And you can also pick up some of the gift certificates for Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. 100,000 square feet. It's a great amusement center for the last part of the summer, and or any time actually, but especially for the last part of the summer. Take your kids or grandkids before they go back to school. You can get those $50 gift certificates for $25. $25. And also the Rifleman autographed hardcover books about Stevie Flemmy. When the world, HowieCarshow.com, click on store. When the world gets too loud, create your own soundtrack with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, start at half the price of other premium audio brands, and come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie, buyraycon.com/Howie. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should the federal government have increased food stamp benefits by 27%?
No, they should not have.
95% of the audience says no.
Okay, so here is Steve Davis. He is the brother of Debbie Davis, who was murdered by Stevie Flemmy in South Boston, along with Whitey Bulger in the house that Stevie Flemmy bought for his parents across the across a little cul-de-sac or, you know, pathway from Billy Bulger's house in South Boston. And he was also the brother of Michelle Davis, who was raped at the age of 13 by Stevie Flemmy, or that's what Michelle said. She died of a drug overdose later on. And he was also the brother of Gonzo, they called him, Davis. And he was in prison, and he was murdered by someone in prison, supposedly maybe at the behest of Stevie Flemmy. No one ever figured that out. But anyway, this is Steve Davis. He's testifying against the release of Stevie Flemmi here. This happened this morning before the Florida Parole Board, via telephone. Cut 8.
My name is Steve Davis, a family of a murder victim, or maybe a couple. He was involved with my family. And people talk, you know, I know the ones for him, on him being a mortal prisoner and all that. He has no choice because they have him in a secret prison somewhere.
WITSEC, it's called.
And he has no one to talk to, I guess.
See, he's a cooperating witness, so they put him in this thing called WITSEC. He's not on the Bureau of Prisons website, and they just keep him kind of separate, all these informants. But Steve Davis has a good take on what Stevie Flemmi was all about. Cut 9.
But if this man is released in the public again, it'd be horrific. It'd be horrifying. I mean, the guy's like a Charles Manson. The way he murdered people, the way he ran the streets of Boston with his partner, Whitey Bulger, it just goes on and on.
And Whitey and Stevie didn't like Deb Davis. That was Stevie's girlfriend for a number of years. He set her up and helped her out and, supported her. And then she had the audacity to go out with a Mexican guy that she met on a vacation. So he decided to kill her. And this is Steve Davis telling what happened to his beautiful sister. She was murdered by Stevie and Whitey Bulger at the age of 26 in the house across the way from Billy Bulger. Cut 10.
He brutally murdered people. I mean, he ripped my sister's teeth out of her head after he strangled her so they wouldn't identify her. I mean, the guy is just a vicious, vicious murderer. And
then his stepdaughter, Deb Hussey, he lived with her mother, and he started raping her when she was 13. And then she became a prostitute, got addicted to drugs, so they figured they had to kill her as well. Cut 11.
How anybody killed his own daughter or stepdaughter. I mean, how a man like this could even consider going free or playing? He's nothing but a coward. You know, he accepts what he got, lived there, died there. That's how I see it.
And then there was his brother again, Gonzo Ronzo was killed in prison. Cut 12.
He is no good. My brother, he had a contract on me, one of my brothers in 1984. He had my brother in prison killed in 1981. I never missed a day of that trial. From day one, I never missed a minute of that trial. This guy doesn't even deserve to be breathing.
Cut 14.
I hope the parole board and everybody listens, because he ruined more families than you can even imagine in Massachusetts, and then Oklahoma, and then Florida. I mean, he's ruined so many families, I can't even sit there.
Cut 15. Okay.
How would you consider him a model prisoner? Of course, he's trying to manipulate the system, his age. He's not sick. The guy's in good health. He's in good shape. He's in better shape than a lot of 50-year-old guys.
And his father and mother both lived to be close to 100. That's how they told him to plead guilty. They said, you're going to be here a long, long time. You might as well be in WITSEC, a nice prison, rather than a place like Otisville. All right, we'll be right back. We got two more cuts to play, and then we will take some of your calls. Dragnet, just the facts. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. It's just amazing that this just goes on and on. This story never seems to end. But anyway, so at the end of the thing, the parole commission listed, I don't know why they did this, and it was going on for so long that Jared, I was sitting in here in the studio, and Jared was outside, and he comes in and he says, how long is this going to go? How long do they have to read all the crimes he committed? I have to go on the air with Grace in an hour and 40 minutes. It just seemed like it was going to take an hour and 40 minutes to go over the count. But anyway, this is a montage of the things that Stevie did. And again, he's only pleaded guilty to 10 of the 50 murders, but there are so many other things that he did. Cut 17.
Murder in the first degree, conspiracy, I have 180 months. Count one is racketeering conspiracy, count two is racketeering, and count three is extortion. 180 months each. Case number 99CR-10371, counts five, CR-10371, counts 27, count 29. 27 is money laundering. 28 is extortion to collect the credit. And 29 is obstruction of justice. And I have 120 months each for a total of 360 months. 10371, count 30. 10371, count 31. 10371, count 32. 10371, count 33.
I have count 31 as obstruction of justice, 32 as evidence tampering. I have 120 months.
10371, count 36, possession of firearms and furtherance of violent crimes. I have 37 is possession of short barrel shotguns. Count 38, possession of machine guns and firearms, and my Roman numeral is not real clear on that. I believe that would be 41.
That's what I have.
For those of you who can't keep track of that additional month after month, it was came out to, in the end, 2,680 months. 2,600. But he gets time off for good behavior. So they finally did all the math and they came up, here's when he's eligible for parole.
Times began, I agree with the commission investigator, as January 4, 1995.
Agreed.
Which would set the PPRD at May 4, 2018.
Agreed.
Save the date. May 4, 2018. We were all looking at each other. What did he say? 2018. It's already 2018. No, he said 2218. We were off by 200 years. Okay. 844-500-4242. Again, if you want to read up on the Rifleman, the book is available in hardcover. It's at a reduced price. I wrote it, it's basically the DEA 6. He confessed everything and it was taken down by the Drug Enforcement Administration. And I took the entire report and put it in and illustrated it with some pretty cool pictures, if I do say so myself, and some charts of the Winter Hill Gang organization and how the gangs all sorted themselves out in Boston and the surrounding areas. But it's available at a reduced price, hardcover, autographed, The Rifleman. There aren't many left. There aren't many hardcover copies left. We may reprint it again at some point, but not in hardcover. So HowieCarshow.com, click on store. And also check out our Apex Entertainment gift certificates, $50 gift certificates for $25. That's our cheap bastard deal. We got a few of those left as well. 508 says, companies and hospitals sent out surveys to gauge how many employees were vaccinated and the employees lied. Now with mandates, companies are finding out that what they thought was an 85 to 90% vaccination rate is really 50 to 60%. This is happening all over. I think you're viewing through the eyes of a comfortable self-employed 71-year-old. No, I'm not 71, okay? Come on. and not a 40,
how dare you?
And not a 40-year-old working a corporate job with a mortgage and worried about what the vax and boosters will do to your heart or arteries. I understand that, you know, and again, I'm not as vulnerable in many ways as people who have corporate jobs. I don't have, you're right. I'm lucky that I don't have to worry about that, but I don't know what to say. I'm appalled that today, not only was he trying to divert attention from his disastrous Afghanistan policy, but just, I mean, this policy of trying to instill panic and terror about something that is not worthy of panic and terror. I mean, this is as irresponsible in a different way as the Afghanistan policy, or shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline, or signing on to these absurd Paris climate accords, or allowing the Iranian mullahs to build nuclear weapons. I mean, all of this is insanity. I don't know how else to put it. Chris, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question on this Afghanistan pullout. I'd like to know how many trillions of dollars we spent over the last 20 years to build that country up and to train these people and these Afghans to control their country. And then our military gets paid whether they're at home or they're overseas, which I was in the service. But is it really cost effective to bring all these Afghans to the United States? Because you and I both know that no other country is going to take them, so we're going to give them all asylum here, and then we got to pay for their health care, housing,
right,
food, and all this stuff. So, I mean, did they really think that through? I mean, our military was already, they're already paying these guys to keep them
over. No, I don't, you know, that's the thing. I mean, Trump said that last night or this morning with Maria. He said, nobody's ever taken in everybody they fought with into the society. And, you know, we owe it to some of them, a handful of them, but we can't take in everybody from Afghanistan. It's been a disaster for Europe. I mean, the Afghan immigrants to Europe have assimilated even more wretchedly than the ones from the other backward Muslim countries. And I cited a study from the Rand Corporation saying that. And that's just reality. And it's crazy. And the numbers I've seen are, you know, between all the American wages, et cetera, for the military and the contractors was about $1 trillion. And it's about $1 trillion to Afghanistan. So it's a $2 trillion fiasco here. And it's just the way it's ended is so terrible. And it didn't have to end this way. I mean, we had the situation under control, as Mike Pence said in his op-ed in the Wall Street Journal today. But Biden just had to go against Trump, and he wanted, and how insane is it that he wanted to get us out by September 11th? We were going to totally withdraw on September 11th. I mean, how else could, and he thought that would be seen as a victory. I mean, even if he wasn't senile, how stupid would that be? And so now we didn't even make it to September 11th, the 20th anniversary, but September 11th, it begins with people jumping out of the World Trade Center to their deaths to escape. And now it's ending with Afghans falling to their deaths from an equal heights, trying to escape the same terrorists that our fellow Americans were trying to escape when the World Trade Centers had been hit by the airplanes. It's just a horrible, horrible end. And all Joe Biden could do is go on with one of his Democrat operatives on network TV and stumble and mumble and speak incoherently, and then try to get everybody scared about a variant that probably kills fewer people at this point than the flu does. That's his pivot. It's horrible. Dr. Luke, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dr. Luke.
Hi, Howie. How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for having me on your show. You know, up here in Augusta, Maine, One of the mental hospitals up here is barely, they're barely over 50% capacity, and that's putting a strain on the main hospital here. When people are trying to go get health care, they're saying that the hospitals are packed full, but they're not full of COVID people. They're full of mentally ill people or people who are waiting for placement. It's really unfortunate what's going on.
No, it is. It certainly is. I mean, there was a there are a lot of healthcare professionals who say that the real problem, the epidemic among children, is clinical depression. That they haven't been outside. They're not allowed to play with kids. They haven't been to school. They have to wear masks. They've fallen way behind where they should be traditionally in terms of reading and writing comprehension. It's just a horrible situation. And Dr. Luke, for what? What is the problem? No kids are dying. You there?
Punished.
You're breaking up.
It's like we're being punished.
Yeah, it is. It is, I keep, they keep saying, well, you should be afraid of COVID. I'm not afraid of COVID. I've studied COVID. I'm not a doctor, but I've studied COVID. I think I understand as a layman what the dangers are. I'm a lot more worried about government's reactions to COVID. Government's reactions to COVID have the danger, are much more dangerous to me and the vast, vast majority of American people than COVID is. You know, they can put me out of business. If I had young kids, they could make my young kids sick, mentally sick. They could hinder my travel plans. They can just, they could just do minor things that would inconvenience me, like making me wear a mask to the barbershop. Who the hell wants to do that? And I, you know, when I see a place says we require masks, I don't go in that place. I don't care how long I've been in it. The mailroom manager today, the salon she likes to go to, they just announced they're bringing back masks. She said, okay, you're bringing back masks. Cancel all my appointments. And I'm telling you, there are millions of people going to do the same thing as this happens. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. No matter how you're feeling about getting back out there, there's no denying it's an adjustment. When the world gets too loud, something I love to do is create my own soundtrack by popping in my wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people or to stay calm with some guided meditation. Or if you're just in kind of a nasty mood and you just need to take it out on something, you can play some hard rock, you know, Rolling Stones, the Kinks, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Little Feat. That's what I feel in the mood for right now after listening to all this Biden BS and this buck passing and finger pointing. I can use some good 70s rock music. And you know what? Raycons are the best way to listen to that or to anything else. True crime podcasts. Maybe I'll listen to my Dirty Rats true crime podcast tonight after hearing all that Stevie Flemmy stuff tonight. Anything, though. And it, you know what? It doesn't bother anyone that you're around, whether it's the mailroom manager or Grace or my kids. If they don't like what I'm listening to, doesn't matter because they can't hear it. It's only for me. And the sound is better than you'd find anywhere else. Raycons come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort, and unlike some other brands, they don't stick out of your ears. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want, when you want, for a really long time. They start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 40-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, Howie Carr Show listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this. If you're looking for a woke male role model, well, you've got the wrong guy.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
The Howie Carr Show is back.
844-500-4242. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Howie, I've seen Sammy the Bull on YouTube doing a new show.
Yeah, one of the VIPs was just talking about that. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said he got so many calls on Whitey that he decided to do a 20-half-hour segment on it. He said he never met Whitey, but he did time with Frank the Cadillac, Salami.
Yeah.
Salami. And factually, I think he got a lot wrong. And as I was watching, I go, Howie needs to see this and review it.
You know what? I do. You know, Frankie Salemi could have given him the facts. You know why? When they captured Frank Salemi back in the 90s, I think he was in, I forget where, I guess this was the second time they captured him. You know what he had in the back seat of his car, Joe? A copy of Hitman by Howie Carr. I thought that was a tribute that was to me. I took that as the ultimate compliment that Cadillac Frank was reading up on Johnny Moderato's career. I will check that out and see what happened. A lot of people mix up some of the stuff with Whitey or, you know, in Black Mass, there was so much stuff to deal with that they just started combining and making it into fiction to get from one incident to another. And I understand, you know, Hollywood takes license with it, but there's just so much stuff there. And, you know, we're trying to do something now with another group of people. And again, we're running into the same thing. You know, what do you concentrate on with all this stuff that you can deal with? All these gangs, all these murders, all these weird people, including Dr. Goebbels, Stevie the Rifleman Flemmy. Thanks for the call, Joe. I'll definitely check that out. Where is it again? What channel is it on? What channel is it on?
YouTube.
Okay. I got to check that. I'll check that out tonight, actually. Rachel, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I wasn't going to talk about the virus shots because I'm 77. I didn't take a shot. I wear a mask when I go to the store. I wash my hands. I just don't believe in it. So the thing I was going to call you about is Afghanistan. This is their plan. This chaos. So we're going to have to take in the illegals from the border. Nobody's thinking about them, but they're still coming in. And then the Afghans, we'll have to take them, and we can't feel sorry for them. You know, we have to take them, even though some of them, most of them, won't be vented.
No, they won't be. I mean, that's the thing. And I don't know. We don't have to take people who didn't work for us. I mean, I understand. Let's take these 10,000, maybe 10,000. That's the ones we take. We don't just take anybody who jumps on the plane. They said there were 600 or 700 people on that plane and only 100 were Americans. I hope the hell they were vetted. What's going to happen to them? And Charlie Parker's going, we'll take as many as they want to give us. Oh, okay, Charlie. Where are you going to put him? In the Holyoke Soldiers Home?
Don't know.
Put him in the Holyoke Soldiers Home, Charlie. There's a lot of room there. You know, you killed all those people. You killed three times as many people there as have died in New Zealand in the whole course of the panic. And New Zealand is shut down 100%. Good Lord. I think I need to watch that Sammy the Bull documentary tonight on YouTube. I can't take watching a lot more of Joe Biden. All right. Che, if you want a book about Stevie Flemmy, go to HowieCarshow.com, click on store, and buy The Rifleman. Special edition. I'm Howie Carr.